Bree pushed a strand of hair behind her ear and frowned. "Why not? Nora, just yesterday you were desperate for that job. You were so excited. It's David, isn't it, saying that you can't?" Nora, annoyed, shook her head. "David doesn't even know. Bree, it was just a little box of an office. Boring, bourgeois, you wouldn't be caught dead in it." "I'm not you," Bree pointed out, impatient. "You're not me. You wanted this job, Nora, for the glamour, for heaven's sake, for the independence." It was true, she had wanted the job. But it was also true that she felt anger flaring up again. Fine for Bree, who was out here starting revolutions, to consign her to a 9-to-5 life.
"I'd be typing, not traveling. It would be years and years before I earned any trips. It's not exactly what I imagined for my life, Bree." "And pushing that vacuum cleaner is?"
Nora thought of the wild rush of wind, of the Ohio swirling only 80 miles away. She pressed her lips together and did not answer.
"You make me so crazy, Nora. Why are you afraid of change? Why can't you just be and let the world unfold?"
"I am," she said. "I am being. You have no idea.
You're sticking your head in the sand. That's what I see. You don't see anything but the next available man. All right, we're done."
Bree took a single step and was immediately swallowed by the crowd, a flash of color, then gone. Nora stood for a moment beneath the catalpas, trembling with an anger she knew to be unaccountable. What was wrong with her? How could she envy Kay Marshall one moment and Bree the next for such completely different reasons? She made her way back through the crowd to her car. After the turbulence and drama of the protest, the city streets seemed flat, bleached of color, ominously ordinary. Too much time had passed. She had only 2 hours before she needed to fetch Paul. Not time enough for the river now. At home, in her sunny kitchen, Nora made herself a gin and tonic. The glass was solid and cool in her hand, and the ice tinkled with reassuring brightness. In the living room, she paused before the photograph of herself standing on the natural stone bridge. When she remembered that day, their hike and their picnic, she never thought of this moment. Instead, she remembered the world spreading out below her, the sun in the air on her skin. "Let me take your picture," David had called, insistent, and she turned to find him kneeling, focusing, intent on preserving a moment that never really existed. She'd been right about that camera, to her own regret. David, fascinated to the point of obsession, had built a darkroom above the garage. David. How was it that he grew more mysterious to her as the years passed, as well as more familiar? He had left a pair of amber cufflinks on the console beneath the photos. Nora picked these up and held them in her palm, listening to the clock tick softly in the living room. The stones warmed in her hand. She was comforted by their smoothness.